Amen. I want to talk for a few minutes, kind of just piggyback right off that. Kind of one of the defining features, I think, of the believing life. Number of years ago, I think it's like, yeah, it's the year before COVID shut down. I had to go to two places in Asia, and I looked at online on the tickets, and I think they were like, I don't know, $20,000, $21,000 or something to go everywhere I need to go if I bought one ticket. And then I know some things. So I looked at the same route, all the same route, different ways. And I think I paid $4,500 business class all the way. And I often think about, the Lord will give me natural things that happen in my life, just everyday things like that. I remember within, a few hours, I'd bought all the tickets. And I remember talking to the lady on Delta. She's like, "You can't do that." I said, "Yes, I can." And she's like, "I've never seen anyone do this." I was like, no, I know that you can go this route, that route, and go this. And I want to use my miles to be up in Delta One. She goes, "I've never seen anyone who knows all this." I said, "Well, I know the God who knows all things." But probably about 10 years before that, I couldn't have done that because I didn't know all the ins and outs of flying all the time. And when we walk with the Lord, He has this ability, and His desire for us is to give us continual understanding to navigate the challenges that we have in life or the assignments we have in life from a completely different perspective. So my point in saying all that is, what you don't know, you don't know, and what you don't know, you can't be effective in doing. And so I thought it was I want to talk to you just for a few moments, really, on just the concept of the spirit of revelation and how important it is. And there is when I listen to someone share words and teaching, I'm looking to grab a concept and how I can apply it to my everyday situation. So one concept that I just heard was, and here's another thought too. When I listen to someone teach, I'm not just listening to what they're saying. I'm trying to find out how they built what they're saying. Sometimes I can agree with the conclusion, but I don't necessarily agree with how they got there. Not today necessarily, but I can agree with the premise. And then sometimes I actually don't agree with the premise, so I can never come to the conclusion they came to. And so even when I have conversations with people, a number of years ago, this people, we want to talk to you what the Bible says about homosexuality. I said, no. Because the premise of where they was coming from was completely different, and I'm not changing. They told me I was closed-minded. I said, yes, I'm born again. You'll get that later. I am. I'm very closed-minded, but I'm saved. And that's okay. You can describe it. But so what I'm saying is the premise that was established here today and your positioning, the way you position yourself before the Lord is what defines how God will relate to you. So we looked at it in Numbers 13. They said the people are too big. So he goes, and this is the beautiful thing about God. This is the wonderful thing about God. That's why he constantly reminds you he never leaves you nor forsake you. Like, you can, if I can put it in any, this is the most straightforward way I can tell you. You can choose to stay ignorant and he will still be kind to you. But you will live in deficit in this world. And so what I heard, and I think it's just a really important biblical principle, and I have tried to live it out, certainly not arrived, is, and here's a fundamental biblical worldview. God's primary purpose or primary promise to humanity is not heaven. God's primary promise to humanity is the earth. And since the earth belongs to you, what he was saying is, this is what I heard him saying, be an owner of the world that you live in. But you'll never be an owner of the world that you live in unless you take ownership of yourself. So the fundamental premise is take ownership of yourself. And when you take we emphasize this, I think, on Friday night. You're an incredibly powerful person. Amen. Like really, really powerful. Really, really powerful. Humanity is so powerful. God makes this statement it always fascinates me about the Tower of Babel, that if they keep doing this, they could accomplish what is in their heart. So you're actually powerful enough to choose certain things. And so you will choose your level of how you relate to God. And so by being an owner of the earth, it's not this concept, and that's why I try to really pull out that concept of image. It's not like get rid of all the gay people in government, all that stuff. That's not necessarily it. It is this understanding that because I've taken ownership of the world that I live in, I now have the favor of God to be a resource to that person. And part of the reason why it's not a small thing to believe that the earth belongs to you is this. Because if you relate to people at simply of, hey, I have a message that can help you get to heaven, that is completely irrelevant to most people. Because the world they live in is I'm trying to pay my bills, or whatever it is, I have this pressure. Or even if I'm really successful, I have all these different pressures. I remember sitting with someone who the world would look at as like, wow, he's like, you know, he's got just all this stuff. And all the issues of life were the same. And when I sat in his office, I thought, I have an answer for this man. I remember one time this guy was on a plane and he would say, I'm just really stressed out. I said, well, it's a good day for you. He said, really? I said, yes, I'm sitting next to you. And I have something that can really help you. Yeah. Remember an Uber driver in LA, she was like, I got cancer, you know, like my life is horrible, I can't make my bills. I said, well, today's a good day for you. I said, because I offer to you something that if you choose to say yes, can help you with all those things. And I think part of the problem is, there's a lot of layers to this, but often in the body of Christ, we're listening to people who are quote unquote successful. But to be honest with you, I'm not really so much focused on the success they have, because I don't think they got to it the God way. So I want to listen to people who got things the God way. That's just my personal conviction. So when you see yourself as an owner of the world, then an aspect of God will open to you in the way he will relate to you. And now revelation will come on how you can be an owner of the world that you live in. I want to look at a few scriptures and then we'll land the plane here. Got my iPhone today. And I want you to just see this essential concept of revelation. Your whole believing life in God was supposed to be governed by revelation. And your intellect was to be defined by the revelation you receive from God. But often the challenge is people define the revelation they receive from God by their intellect. And so they talk themselves consistently out of beginning to walk in the path of the impossible. So Proverbs 29:18, I'm going to read all out of the Passion because I just love the way Brian Simmons has put it here. Where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But I love this. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. So what is the primary revelation that every believer must come to understand? It doesn't mean you got it all figured out. I'm still working through things, that words I got 18 18, 25, 22, 23 years ago. But the primary revelation, and you'll see it again, we go back to Genesis. The primary revelation is, why am I here? What is the reason that I've been put on this particular season in the earth? And by the way, remember this. This is the shortest part of your existence. And I don't find discerning the will of God very difficult in a sense of purpose, because I believe the Bible gives us some fundamental premises. Number one, have a fellowship with God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Number two, learn to serve the world around you. Number three, connect with the local community. There is no discipleship outside the context community. I find if people do those things, I've never met anyone. Now, they might not know everything, but they're on that path to do it. They go, you know, I know this. And part of that path of purpose also, though, you can't dismiss this one, is a concept of servanthood. Like, in people's immaturity, they'll often go, well, I just don't feel led of the Lord to do that. I never told my parents in my house that I felt led of the Lord to do anything, you know. It was just like, hey, we'd like you to do this. You know, we'd like you to clean the bathroom, you know. I remember years ago I led this internship program, and I asked the young, he goes, I don't really feel led of the Lord to do that. So I asked him, do you feel led of the Lord to be in this program? He said, yes. I said, then I feel led of the Lord to tell you to go do that. I just don't see that in my gift set. I said, I'm not asking you to see what's in your gift set. I'm asking you to serve this ministry to do that. That's some people consider that old school. I consider it Bible. So he tells us, that's the primary revelation. But then as you say yes to purpose and begin to, and you don't have it all figured out, you just begin walking it out. Revelation, you open up yourself for progressive understanding. Just give you one example. As easy as praying for the sick. You know, I remember I read, literally at 18 years old, read John 14:12. If you believe, you'll do greater works. I believe. So I remember, a few weeks later, I'm in the cafeteria. Very healthy girl goes, I have something wrong with me. Oh, and then that verse comes up. You get to, that's another thing. Discipleship without practice of truth. Let me say this. Discipleship does not exist without the practice of truth. I'll check one amen over here. Discipleship does not exist without the practice of truth. So I thought, oh, I should probably pray for her. I think it was one of the first sick people I prayed for. So I prayed for her, I remember. She goes, oh, I feel the fire of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh. And I didn't feel anything. That was 26 years ago. But I since learned in the practice of truth. What happened? Revelation grew. I said, oh. And then I began to pray for sick people. And I thought, oh, look at all these people getting healed. And then some people wouldn't get healed. And so now it leads to an inquiry of the Lord. Okay. Why doesn't everyone get healed? Oh, sometimes there's heart issues that hold them back. Sometimes they got this. There's layers. So there's layers to this. And then I started getting words of knowledge. What happens? It's in the practice of truth, you grow in truth. And he will always want to grow and 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 grow. But my observation of people and believers is this. Sometimes they make a high point out of an event or an action in their life, and God wanted to teach them something about reality. Meaning this, give you one example. Oh, we saw this person come out of a wheelchair. Oh, the Lord, I never gave $5,000, and I gave $5,000 that offering. And the Lord was going, oh, I was trying to get you to give the $5,000 because I wanted to get you where you were going to give the $100,000. And they're still talking 15 years later out of giving the $5,000. You know, I never had the $5,000. This is how God. I have a friend He's very blessed. He's got a wonderful business, and he's an extravagant giver. And he will always point to the moment where him and his wife, they had twins. Their twin daughters are grown now, but they Harry and Cheryl Salem, if you remember them, they're still in ministry. They're at their home church and they're doing a marriage seminar, and they were teaching on giving. They said, "We're going to receive an offering," and the Lord said, "Give it all. Give it all." He said, "We gave it all." He goes, "But something forever changed us. And so we learned in that moment that we've applied to the rest of our married life together." He said, "We never missed it." So that was not that was a defining moment, but it wasn't meant to be a high moment. It was meant to be a defining moment of how they viewed reality based upon how they responded to revelation. So you actually will determine the level of truth and understanding you come to by your agreement with what God speaks to in a moment. And often when God speaks to you, it's also an invitation to get healed of trauma. Exodus 3 is an amazing example. Like, or if you want, really, Luke chapter 1, where God comes, and you know what it says about, what's really interesting, it doesn't say like he was like, you know, he was a little off, his theology was off. It actually says about Zacharias that he was this righteous man. And it said he was asking God, he was believing God, him and his wife are believing God for this certain thing. I found that whole story like beyond fascinating. And the angel of the Lord comes to him. Like, I don't know, I read some of this stuff and I think like these are like really good words. And I can identify with it. Like, "Behold, your prayer has been heard." And by the way, she's way too old to have a kid, but your prayer has been heard. And then he goes into this amazing word about the son they're going to have. He'll be great. Like, who doesn't want like the next, you know, I don't know, like who's national prophet, you know? He's going to be awesome. He's going to be the forerunner. By the way, think also about the forerunning ministry of Jesus and how powerful your belief system is. John was called to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, right? That's his call. He did no miracles. Did no miracles in his ministry. So the power of his ministry rested upon the words and the teaching he gave. And he said, "My job is to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord." Catch what he says. "My job is to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. But the thing I'm preaching is change your thinking." So your thinking, your change in thinking prepares the way for the coming of the Lord. If you don't change your thinking, the way of the Lord is a little bit hindered in your life. And then Jesus picks up on the same very message. He focuses in directly on the whole. His whole preponderance of his ministry was focused on the belief system. And by the way, he wasn't coming against the law. He was coming against what the law had been made. God has a real problem of a twisting of the word of God. God is not schizophrenic like most people teach him to be. I believe he was really kind, and then he got even kinder in the new. I don't serve a schizophrenic God. He was really good at the beginning. He was really nice to the Israelites, and he just got even better in the new. So anyway, that's my thought on it. But and I'm right. But Zacharias, he goes, "Your prayer has been heard." And what it, like, he asked God a question. Notice too. Two stories in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Both people, Gabriel got some cool assignments. Both people got amazing words. Both people asked God questions. Only one got to speak. It shows how deep and powerful the positioning of your heart is. One of them asked a question out of faith. The other one was filled with accusation against God. And the reason your words are so important is because they identify belief systems. And God is so kind to Zacharias, he goes, like, all right, tell the fool he can't say anything. Because I don't say it like he's a fool. I go, God, let me learn from this. Let me learn when God comes to me. What is it? All his trauma came to the surface. Like, it can't be like, no, like, I've had so much this. See, a lot of times in our waiting and even standing in faith, we begin to define ourselves by the victimhood of that situation. I've never had a kid. I'm not going to have an heir. What's right? And we actually begin to identify with victimhood. Not you, not anyone else, not anyone in this room. So remember, watch the significance of it. He does not speak again. He does not speak again until he comes into alignment with the word of the Lord. It's likely that if he talked, he could have aborted what God had for him. So this positioning of your heart's a really big deal. Proverbs 29:18. Without revelation, the people of God perish. You will perish without revelation. And then the New Testament equivalent. I'm almost done. Sort of almost done. But I didn't think you came for a sermonette this morning. Again, out of the passion. But when the truth-giving spirit, I love that. This truth-giving spirit. The truth, you know what? I just believe truth is popular. I remember this one homosexual man. I love homosexuals. I had two men in my family deliver that craziness. Beautiful thing. I know the pain of that. But I also know telling people the truth is the right thing. I do. I tell them. I'm kind. I don't let the enemy. I don't let the enemy win that premise. Ah, you Christians are holy. I don't hate you. You don't believe what I'm living is right. Yes, that's true. Because I serve a God who defines reality for me. And he said, this is not healthy. If he didn't say anything about it, I wouldn't tell you anything about it. Remember this one guy, he said, I know I can't live the Christian life unless I change. I said, well, you can come in and change, but you're going to have to change at a certain point. Because truth and unrighteousness never coexist together for very long. I don't know how I got on that. But anyway, what I'm saying is truth is popular. I just tell people. I don't like go around subject to like, it's like, do you have a problem with me being homeless? I said, I don't have a problem with it. I said, you could, this is a free country. You could choose the way you live. I said, but if you want to follow Jesus, I want to tell you, he says, because he loves you and because he created you and because he's the king, he says, this is an incorrect way to live. And that is a perversion of his love. Well, I remember one guy. I'm glad that you told me. I said, I'll just show you the word of God. It's quiet with that. He won't speak his own message, but only what he hears from the Father. He will reveal prophetic. Let me finish verse 13. He will unveil the reality of truth within you. The reality of truth within you. That's what revelation does. So here's what happens when you come into the kingdom. It's a beautiful thing. You step into the heavenly place, and then you have this unlimited inheritance. You have Psalm 139. I love the thing about God is, you know, God is like, he's been around forever. It's beautiful. He really does. Really. You've been around forever. He knew you before the foundation of the earth. So it's likely you've been in God's mind forever. That's a good thought. And I believe, too, those words are reserved for you and for who you are. And so when you hear either the word of God or prophetic words, that's why people like, yes, because it's the eternal witness, the eternal inheritance comes alive in them. They go, that's from God. He will unveil the truth that's within you. He says, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of God is within you. But I want to submit to you, you can be in the kingdom, but if your heart is not positioned correctly, if your heart is hardened, you could be in and have unlimited inheritance, but never know how to access that or never properly hear that based upon your positioning. Every time God speaks, he invites you into an upgrade. I think one of the things that will really one of the tragedies is to listen to truth week after week and never do anything about it. Heal prophetically what is to come. So here's some things that I've learned. I've learned it is a daily choice every day to come honestly before the Lord and once again submit your will to his. I just start every morning. It's really simple. Do it every day. Do it with my wife now. My life is yours. I'm yours to command. Your word is first place in my life. And Lord, what I don't know, I don't know. So I pray. I heard this years ago from Brother Hagin. He actually read it this morning. Catch the theme of what God is saying. I read Ephesians. He said, when I began to read Ephesians 1, that the eyes of my heart would be open, he said, it changed my life. And he said, since that day, he goes, I had read it. And I read it every morning. Awesome. Thousands of times, he goes, my eyes began to become aware of things I never knew existed. Because what you don't know, you don't know. And God doesn't want some of you to pay the $21,000 to sit in business class when you could pay $4,500 to sit in business class. But what you don't know, you can't put your faith in and you can't change your belief system. And then he says in John 7, those who will to do my will. Those who will, that's why I pray that verse. Those, Lord, my desire is to do your will. Those who will to do your will shall know that my doctrine is from God. So that's a good place to start. And then when he speaks, again, I don't wake up every day trying to figure out what's wrong with me. He's really good at making you aware. No, I'm serious. He's very practical. I remember it started years ago, the revival meetings. You're laying on the floor for 2 hours. You're like, this is awesome. What did God do? I don't know. It's awesome, though. You're playing the old vineyard songs. Here am I. Send me to the nations. Like, I'm ready to go to Africa, God. I'll do it, Lord. India, I'm ready to go. And then you go to the drive-thru. And they get something wrong in your order. I mean, I hadn't cursed in a year. And all these, why? Because the more you grow in light, the more, it's not that it wasn't there. Now you have access to see what's really going on in there. That's why I think the most self-deceived people are like, I'm fine, everything's fine. No, really. Really, those are some of the most self-deceived people. I don't mean that to be funny. Because an inability to recognize that you're still a work in progress will cut off your ability to change and to grow. Because his goal is not for you to be an awesome preacher or do miracles. His goal is for you to be like him. So character is really important to God. Shifting and changing. And then beginning every day with Matthew 18. Unless you are like a child. He teaches us all this stuff about when he talks about the kingdom. And one of the beautiful things I've learned about God, he didn't just give me a new nature. He wanted to teach me a whole new way. And he wanted to deliver me from all thoughts of mental illness. No, seriously. That's how you have to see yourself. That's the problem. Most people take, like, they try and apply their culture to the Bible. God is not against culture. I love culture. You know, I do. 24 nations I've been to. I appreciate all. But I remember one time, and I don't take it anymore. What I mean, I don't take things that I know are not true. It's like, well, we're just African. I said, no. You're just not people of your word. I work in Africa. I love Africa. Work with leaders. Well, that's just the way it is culturally. I said, then you need to change because you're in a different family. I don't go with it anymore. People are like, it's rude. You're a rude American. No, I'm telling you the truth. And I want to work in an atmosphere of truth. Amen. We're just different. I said, what does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't conform to your culture. Culture conforms to the Bible. So unless you're like a child and are converted, you cannot receive the kingdom of God. A child who's not been traumatized, not been talked down to, will just naturally believe the things it is told. God wants us to naturally believe the things we're told. And when you have trouble believing them, then it's an invitation. It's an invitation to explore areas that need to be healed. It really is. And sometimes we just, well, that's just my thought. Yeah, that's what I think about. So, like, there's an invitation for exchange. And then you can invite God into your sphere of influence. Oh, I'm going to close with this. It's only 1 o'clock. I got to go home today anyway. Do what? Yeah, it's my fifth closing. Thank you, Tim. Yeah. He did back-to-back speakers. We've done pretty good. Yeah. Two people with a lot to say. So, oh, really?
That's what we came for.
Yeah. About a year and a half ago, I don't think I've told this story here. I don't like to share it too much, but about a year and a half ago, more than that, the Lord spoke to me. I was finishing up a book, and he said, I want you to go get a doctorate degree. And I fought it. Not really fought it. Wrestled with God in this conversation. I told him, I said, don't you realize I'm really busy for you? Yeah. And it takes a lot of time. I feel very unprepared. Haven't written academically in 18 years. Then I had this other thought that's a value system of mine. When I don't think I can do something, which is often of what he asked me, like don't think God will not consistently challenge you to be uncomfortable. People are like, God's really stretching. I'm like, if you're walking with him, you should be being stretched. If not, you're living like an American. But I was like trying to tell him, like, this is a lot. This is the conviction. I realized he's not trying to kill me, first of all. Secondly, he's trying to untap something in my inheritance. Third, if I don't obey him, I'm already dying. I'm losing traction. You don't get many amens for that. You can still go to heaven by not obeying Thessalonica. You really can. If you Jesus is Lord, but I miss it. I'm going to miss something of part of my inheritance. So I do the application. I was like, Lord, they had me do this review, and I'm going, Lord Jesus, I'm going to do this for the next 3 years. I can't even write 2 pages right now. But I did it. Did the best I could. They let me in the school. And I'm praying one night. And there's an angel there. I'd never discern an angel like that. And I think to myself, kind of how it goes when I see one I haven't, haven't seen one in a while. Or never seen anyone like that. And I'm thinking to myself, who is this angel? This is the angel that's going to help you through school. I said, oh, excellent. I'm going to need some help, you know. The best place to ever be in life is to do things you don't think you can do.
Because it has to be done by grace.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Ronnie. So a few days later, I'm on a Zoom call with these leaders. And they said, God's going to help you through this. And my friend goes, and there's an angel assigned to you to do this. And I think he's the angel that was assigned to Oral. Oh. So I've done a lot of things I didn't think I was capable of doing in this program, but I see this angel all the time. Last week I was doing something. I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to write this. Just stop. Here's another key to growing in revelation. Pray in tongues always. And he gave me a picture. This is how you're going to do it. Boom. I wrote something a few weeks ago. I do this because this is Matthew 5. And this is how you recognize you can't do this on your own. A few weeks ago, I wrote something and I went to Tulsa. And the professor came up to me. She goes, I started crying over this assignment you gave. This was so good. It was some excitement about like religious discrimination. And then I thought, Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I'm saying that just one small personal area, there are angels assigned to you by revelation in the assignments God has for you. Well, he will give you revelatory glasses to do what God has called you to do. And so the Lord says, even to Wellspring today, I'm opening to you as a people the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm giving you keys to overcome. I'm giving keys to redefine your life. I'm giving you keys to even redefine the life in your city. I see this beautiful ancient angel that's assigned to Wellspring. He's also helped sustain it against attack of the enemy, against difficulty, against challenges. I have sustained this place, but there's an angel of purpose and there's an angel of revelatory breakthrough that he wants to give to you to become. I've prophetically set you here on a hill for such a time as this. And so know that you are not without. Know that I have not left you here without as orphans. And so I'm inviting you for an upgraded experience of understanding, an upgraded experience of faith to do the will of the Lord. So the Lord says, remember the prophetic record, because I want to activate even some of those words. Prophesy and declare, but also do the work of the Lord in this season. For the Lord says, it's not a time to come, but yet the time is now here. So this weekend, I've drawn you together to invite you into wholeness, to invite you into purpose, and to invite you into great, great strength. Know that I'm with you, and know that my eyes are turned towards this place, and you will define what you receive in this season. It's like an angel of fire just releasing burdens, releasing weights. Some of a few of you will feel like a hand, that it's the hand of Jesus just restructuring your mind and your heart. And just may you know that it's a sign to you of readjusting, rechanging, and redoing. And know this, says the Lord, I am pleased with the works of your hand, but I desire for you to begin to write a new chapter in the history and in the purpose of the Lord. I want you to see yourself as a mighty people with the ability to overcome and govern this city from the authority I've given you. I want to teach you how to govern from the place of presence and my voice. I want to teach you how to govern from a place of presence and my voice. Amen. Amen. You look this way. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being patient. Pastor John.